Hey everyone, this is Bill Kenny, CEO of Focus Lab, a global B2B brand agency. And now, also of Odie, our second agency, which is meant to serve early stage startups very specifically, which is a great segue into this episode. I'm sitting down to speak with Jess Schultz. We had the pleasure of working with her. She is the founder of a company called Amplify. They're a fractional CRO, head of RevOps, and ultimate hype team. Yes, they do live up to that. Jess is a force to be reckoned with. In this episode, her and I speak about her journey, what it's like to go through a rebrand at such an early stage in a startup, the value in that, what is scary about that, and what that whole process looks like. So if you find yourself asking the question, is my company too small to consider an investment in brand? This is a great episode for you. I hope you enjoy. All right, Jess, thank you for joining the show. I'm really excited to chat with you about all the things. This is going to be a little bit of a unique show for us. We are generally recording through the Focus Lab lens, and that process is a little bit different than what you went through, because now we're going to talk about the Odie lens and how that is different and what we've built and why it suits people like yourself. But before we get into that, can you introduce yourself and let people know what you're building at Amplify?
Sure. Jessica Schultz, founder and CEO of Amplify. I started the company a little over a year ago now, so it's February of last year. We are providing services to startups and small and mid-sized businesses. So that's sales and marketing services. So if we're working with a pretty early stage, like seed stage company, we act more like a fractional CRO and extension of the executive team. And then if we're working with a Series A plus company, then we're acting more like the head of RevOps and really helping orchestrate all things marketing, sales, customer success, people, process, tech.
All the things.
All the go-to-market things.
Yeah, targeted, but all the things. Just over a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
It's kind of wild. Yeah. So I had the idea around Thanksgiving of 2021. And then I incorporated in December and started the company in February. So it was pretty let's just do this.
Good for you.
If it works.
Congrats.
And if it doesn't work, then we'll, fold up. But yeah, it works. So here we are.
That is part of the founder's journey, right? You have to take the leap and you got to go. Which is great, because we can kind of even get into that and how this type of conversation and the Odie offering is really meant to serve exactly what you're going through. Yep. I mean, you've only been founded for a year and we're talking about branding, or generally that starts to become seemingly further down the road and potentially out of reach, which is exactly why we built Odie. And again, we'll get into that. So thinking about this now, you're a year into business, mm-hmm. you're probably still trying to build your clientele, cash flow positive, trying to do all the things that early business owners are like, these are the most important things. But at some point you say, hey, I need to consider my brand. And you find us somehow. You don't need to tell the whole story, but what was it that made you start to go down that path and think about brand?
Well, for me, we're a sales and marketing focused company, right? Like, we provide sales mm-hmm. and marketing services. And to your point, when I first started the company, I wasn't sure it was going to take off. So I didn't want to make a massive investment at that point. I spent $500 on an Upworker and made my own website. And I was like, let's just see if we can make any money first. But I knew that that was a very elementary version of the brand, but that was okay for where I was. We had a very fast start, which is amazing. So, we quickly got clients last year. We quickly grew. I hired someone within 3 months. It's kind of wild. So looking, a year in the rear view, I think it was pretty much our anniversary that I started thinking about it. I was like, all right, this worked. It is working. The company's growing. And I don't think our brand reflects who we are today. And since we are a sales and marketing firm, I like to drink my own champagne, so to speak. And so I'm like, it's important to me to look like top-notch brand sales marketing. If I'm the one selling it, I want to look the best at it.
Yes.
Not that
yes,
I sell brands, but you know what I mean? Brand is a big part of sales and marketing. So
yeah. So what were your early mental hurdles of, okay, I want to act on this, but what do I do?
Exactly. So I did some research, and there's a few like VC platform folks I follow that would post quite frequently about brand. And so I was researching it, and everything I had read was like, yeah, set aside 70 to 100K. And I was like, well, that's just like, you know, that's not where I'm at, but I want to look good. And so I started looking into some other Upwork resources that were going to maybe be $2,000 or $3,000. I was thinking maybe that was the way to go, like if that was within reach, and at least I could just like up level what we had to be a little better. And then as we were just talking about, it was kind of, I guess, serendipitous, but I know Noelle at Illuminous. And so I saw you guys promoting the rebrand you had just done for Fur, and that was kind of your OD coming out. And so I was like, oh, OD, and went to your website and then saw, you know, that you were built for small businesses. So I was like, okay, if Noelle can afford it, then it must be within my reach. That made me reach out to you guys, and yeah, the rest is history.
Yeah, fantastic. It's exactly why we wanted to create this offering, because we realized that we, even as a company, as a brand agency at Focus Lab, had grown out of being able to serve that market, but that market still needs a solution. And from our opinion, it needs one significantly better than what the options are. You outlined one of them, which is, all right, well, I'm going to go to a really cheap website and literally throw $500 at it and just take whatever I get. That's fine. And there is a time and place for that. Then there's that next stage, which gets a little bit gray. Am I now going to an Upwork? Do I have a friend that's a freelancer, or a friend of a friend that's a freelancer? Mm-hmm. What's the cost and expectations there? How will it be managed? And then there's where we would like to think OD sits right above that, which is still at more of a premium, but for all the right reasons, which we will or will not get into all of those in the call. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. A small world, how that works out, where you knew Noelle.
Well, awesome. And it's funny because then you guys announced that you did Phil's brand, the No Code Ops. And I also know Phil, and that's actually, I think Noelle introduced me to Phil. So anyway, it's just so funny. I was like, oh, what is, it's like keeps bumping into you guys. So
yeah.
Made it feel even more, and even
that's
better.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
That's literally what we're trying to do. We want to be in that B2B brand space where we feel like hard to miss is probably the easiest way to say it. We want to be hard to miss. Okay. So you say, hey, this looks like actually the solution that I need. You reach out, you find comfort with that, and then we get into the project. What were your expectations entering that project specifically as an early stage founder?
Thankfully, maybe for me, I had done a lot of research. What should you look for in a brand agency? What should you ask? What should you expect to get? And I still thought it was out of reach, but I had read about it. So I think I went in maybe a little more educated than some folks. And then Will did a great job of walking me through your process. And I liked that it was 6 weeks, that it was time bound, and that it seemed like there was very clear structure to the process. You guys have such a great portfolio already online. So I also had comfort personally in seeing like, oh, this is the output, or like the quality of output I would be able to expect. Literally, we had one phone call and you closed me. But I'm sure it was for all of those other reasons of like knowing somebody who had used you and seen it.
Of course. Yeah. So even with all that at your advantage, what was your biggest fear? Like, what were you most nervous about going into it?
I guess like the only fear is that it wouldn't come out, like that the end result wouldn't be what I want, right? Which I think is always like a fear. But I still felt pretty confident. I know it was a new... And now that I know your team, I would feel confident anyway. But like in my head, I was like, look, this is a newer group. They're trying to make a name for themselves. I don't think they're going to let me leave unhappy either. You know, like I just like if they're good business people, they're not going to do that. Kind of like me, right? Like I'm still a year in.
Of course.
Don't want any client to leave unhappy. So even if some things are egregious or ridiculous, I kind of grin and bear it a little right now.
Sure.
Yeah. So I did, I guess that's where I got over that hurdle. But yeah, I think that's your first fear.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll pay the money. I'll spend 6 weeks and I won't like it.
Yeah, and I won't like it. That's literally everybody's fear. You can't imagine how many times I've had that conversation at every level of every business that we've built in this kind of brand spectrum now. It becomes very easy for me to say, but I understand hard to fully understand from the client side, which is like, that won't happen. there's so much iteration and process and structure and support and care and all these things built into the process that, like, for that to happen, that happens in a world where you give us money, we go dark for 6 weeks, and we just pop up with a single solution and say, I hope you like it. Mm-hmm. Because of the process of this week to week to week to week to week, iterate, you're never going to end up at the end with something that you're like, I can't believe we got here. In the middle of a project, that is a natural tension as everyone's working through the more of this, less of this, more of this, less of this. But that's what that part of the project is supposed to be.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because it did. Your team is so nice. And I feel like literally like they're just like customer service. I mean, A+. And even then, I like toward the middle of the process, I got irritated. And I remember they fall and they're like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just like, I'm getting scared because we're like halfway through and I still don't. And they're like, just trust us. We will get there. And like, it absolutely did. But about midway through is when I was like starting to bite my fingernails a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. But we totally crossed the chasm and
Yes. Yeah. It's all about the communication. You have to communicate that fear for us to be able to address it, comfort it, and actually maybe very quickly, like pivot to it sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? Say like, okay, what is driving that fear? Where do we seem to be so off that maybe we haven't aligned with you yet? Or is it just straight up fear and we can all kind of get through that in a very kind of normal process? Yeah. It's a part of the game.
For me, it was like not understanding either. Like, what your team did a great job of like recovering from that. And I was also really stressed. I told them that. I was like, I'm having a stressful week. So like, I'm sure this is just not all you either. But like, they did a good job of educating me on like, I didn't understand some of the terminology you guys use, right? Like visual language, for example. Like,
yes.
I would be like, well, I don't love the colors. They're like, great, but do you like the frequencies? And do you like this? And do you like, and I'm like, well, yeah, I like that. They're like, okay, then you are liking the visual language. We just need to get the color palette. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, and I just, these are like terms I don't even know, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Anyway, there was a lot of, I think there was a lot of education throughout that.
Yeah. And I thank you for calling it out, as we pride ourselves on that, educating and shepherding through that process. This is as psychological of a game as it is craft, right? That is a big part of the game that we play, especially at the OD level, early stage. There are other fears and stressors that our early founder is going to have going on in the background, and that's going to show itself in the project. So no sweat. That's what we're here for. And you made a point that I want to point out because I think it's valuable. Okay, so we get into the project. We kind of touched on some of these things, but maybe let's go deeper on one or two of them. So these projects are not easy, even at 6 weeks. So the OD length is a 6 week visual identity process. So it's funny, you know, to me, sometimes people are like, 6 weeks, God, that's a long time. When you're in it, it's like, oh my God, can we get this done in 6 weeks, right? We're asking you, give us feedback. You're like, oh my God, I got to get this feedback to you. Then we have to iterate and you got to go through all that. So having said all of that, though, what was the most challenging aspect of the project for you?
It's funny because you sent me one of these prior recordings to have context for this conversation.
Yes.
And when I heard the woman say her answer, I was like, oh, that's exactly what I felt. It's hard sometimes to give feedback. As you mentioned, I get the stuff on Friday and then I have to give feedback by Tuesday. And I would look at it right away, but it's like I needed to look at it and like marinate on it for several days at a time. Like it's because it's like a lot of things, they grow on you, you know, and you're like, I think I don't like that, but I don't know. Let me look again tomorrow and see. So I think it was just like making decisions and feeling a little bit like, am I making the wrong decision along the way because we're going so fast? But like at the same time, we did meet, you know, you needed it to be short and I get that. And also, I don't know if I had 5 more days if I would have made a different decision, but it's like you just start questioning yourself a little bit.
It is a hell of a conundrum, the decision-making process. Because even on the client side, you don't want it to take 18 weeks either, right?
Right.
So you almost need this forced constraint of decision-making that happens. But then, yes, you're left with the, oh boy, if I make that decision, is that chiseled in stone now? There's no going back from that on a week-to-week basis. It's like, well, no, but we could go back, but let's not go all the way back. We still need to be progressing. And it's a hell of a journey going through it. I completely understand. And again, that's why I think it's so much a part of our job to let people like yourself know that that's normal. And for us to support you through that decision-making, if you're questioning things, let's talk about it. We can help you get out of your head if we feel like you don't need to be there on that decision, or we can say, oh, all right, actually, let's sit on that one. That's an important one. Let's talk about it together.
No, and I think they were good because it is sometimes hard to articulate to how we feel about how something looks, right? Like, why be like, well, I don't like that. And they're like, okay, but why? And I'm like, well, I don't know. And so, like, you know, like, like it sometimes, but they were good at coaxing it out of me. I'm like, okay, do you not like sharp angles? Do you not like, you know, like, but so I think their prodding questions were good for helping me articulate.
How I was feeling. Because we need that. If we can't do that, then we're like, okay, we're just going to make another random thing and hope you like that.
Right.
Then you want to talk about a project that goes on forever and nobody wins at the end of. That's kind of the path to that.
Yep.
Yes, it is challenging. I would almost say, thankfully for you, it's only 6 weeks. You talk about a Marketo or a sales offer. I mean, think about those decisions for months and months and months. So
that would be a lot.
Challenging, but also exciting and rewarding. So of the stages of the project or the outcome, et cetera, what was the most rewarding aspect of the project?
I think like when we got to the end, to be honest, like, I mean, it was just cool to like see it all. And it's funny because when I, when they first showed me the color palette, like I had liked two different palettes and I was like, well, I really like this one, but I like this one too. And they ended up just doing all of them. And I was like, I don't know if that's gonna, but then like, when Grant brought it all together, I was like, damn, that looks good. But like, I was not thinking it, you know, when I just first saw the palette alone. And then when he brought it all together visually, I was like, wow. And it really just, again, like the end result for me was exactly what I wanted. I wanted to look more sophisticated. I wanted to look more tech forward. I thought my old brand looked very professional services, like accounting. And I'm serving really high growth, innovative tech companies. And so I wanted to look more modern and tech forward, but maintaining some of the elements of the original brand were really important to me. Like I'm a singer. And so Amplify has personal meaning to me with sound. It also has, of course, visual elements that help sales and marketing too, right? Like we're trying to amplify our clients. And so I want to keep the musical elements there somehow, because that was personal to the my story. And then I really love the mountains, because like anyone that would come to my old website, they would always compliment on, but the mountains just look so grand. And I was like, okay, everyone comments on the mountains, I gotta keep but anyway, so like they did a great job of keeping some things, but really still like elevating and accomplishing all the goals that I had for the brand. So I love it.
Is it still growing on you, or you feel like you love it, you're at max love, it can't grow anymore?
I think I'm like at max, like the first week or two, I think that's true. It was like every time I'd see it, I was like, that's, especially as we started to recreate some of our assets and things, I was just like, this just looks so much better.
Yes.
You know, some of the one pagers and sales decks and things, like they just look infinitely better. But yeah, I mean, I'm very happy. And I think it's at least a good identity for us for the foreseeable future. And I'm sure that's at some point this changes again, but
Yep. And I'm glad you said that, because that is an appropriate response to that reality. That's how you should feel about it, right? It's not a, well, I spent this money on it, I'm going to do it once and never touch it again. You don't want to have to do it a lot.
Right.
But you're certainly going to have to at least consider it as the company grows, as it potentially changes positions in a market and pivots its offerings, whatever might happen in the future. And you've done what you needed to do now, which is get yourself in a good position for that next run, whatever that is. So speaking of that next run, I led myself in really well there. what is this new brand going to allow you to do that you couldn't do before?
I don't know if it's anything we couldn't do, but I just, again, I just feel like we present as a much bigger, more mature company now. Like, I think it just, it really elevates our presentation to the market. I think a lot of people are surprised when they talk to me. They're like, yeah, I just started the company a year ago. And they're like, really?
Like, damn.
Like, yeah. You know? I'm cool, right? I know. It looks like a real company, right? So yeah, I think it just like made our visual appearance match what I think our maturity, even though that is fast, but like the maturity of our business now.
Yep. I talk about this a lot in a lot of the calls. and even with Noel, who I recorded with last week, I think it was, this idea of perception as a really powerful tool, especially in an early stage company, right? Like when need trust and you need people to take you seriously, knowing that your offering is strong, but do they believe it from how they perceive the company visually, right? You never want to put brand on only a visual platform. But in this exact exercise and where you are, it's very much a visual game, what we've done for you. And that is a very powerful game, especially early on.
And I would even add to that, like, I think it was so important for me, again, like I mentioned, as a sales and marketing firm, to like drink my own Kool-Aid and be the best. But I also think it's so important for anyone selling into enterprise, like all these startups, right? Like they're brand new and you're trying to sell to McDonald's and AT&T.
Right.
You better look like you can handle it.
Exactly. You know,
like I don't really need to look like that for my buyer. Again, I think I need to look like that for my services. But for other startups, if you sell enterprise SaaS, to me, needs look like you can handle enterprise.
Yep. Yep. And you want to start talking about ROI. It takes literally one contract to completely get all of that money back more of whatever that brand investment is. It's an easy one for one when you start to do that math, especially at that scale, which is another fantastic lead in to my next question, which is what would you tell another founder that says, oh, I don't need brand. That's an investment I don't think I need to make.
I would say think again. I do think it depends. You guys sell to B2B and mostly tech. So the answer should be, yes, you do. If you own like, you know, a small car dealership or something, I don't know, maybe not, right? But for the audience that you sell to, for the people in our venture-backed tech orbit, it absolutely matters. And I remember something that Will said to me in the first call too. I was pretty much bought in, but it was like, well, should I do it now or should I do it in a year or something was kind of a thought I had. And he's like, well, the longer you go with people getting like familiar and attached to your current brand, the harder it is to change. So he's like, I would actually argue that you should do it now because then you're starting to amplify your own brand and like your own voice. And so you don't want people to get attached to an old image.
Yes.
I was like, no, I want people to know this elevated version of us as soon as possible.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, it is a dilemma, though. I understand. Do I do it now? Should I wait? Can I afford it now? Can I not? Should it be going towards other things? Part of that narrative that he was kind of telling you, definitely true, right? Like you want to get out clearest, best version of yourself as early as possible within reason.
Yes.
Right? Doesn't mean day two. There's other things to figure out. But if you don't have to wait, don't just put it off. And I think because brand can be very nebulous of like, will it have an impact? Do I need it now? It is easier to put off because of that. But now you have that behind you and now you can rock, right? Mm-hmm. Foundation's there and now you can build on that. Has to be a better position than not doing it.
Yeah. And it even just feels more enjoyable now to create sales material. You know, like now when I'm like doing a deck, I'm like, oh yeah, I have elements and this is engaging and like, it's like it's just made doing our job more enjoyable. It's your
life. And efficient, potentially. Yeah. Right? We hear that a lot too. Even at all scales of company, they're saying, God, when our assets and our tools are all over the place, just the headspace to sit down and say, I got to create a deck, but I got things over here and I don't know if I should use this. I don't know if I should use that.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, I know exactly what to build. Speed.
Yep.
Speed's ROI.
Yep. I agree.
So if you were sitting down with another founder or even a friend for that matter, and they were going to go through a rebrand and you're like, I've done it before. Here's the one thing you need to make sure you think about. What would that thing be?
I think your team does a really great job of helping you through this. For example, before I knew you existed, I had started trying to pull logos of my competitors all onto one slide and just look at that. And I was like, what am I seeing here that's similar? And like, I was almost thinking that I needed to look more like them. Like, I don't know why that was my thought, but I was kind of like, oh, well, they all have very different, they're all in the blues and like, they're all capitals. And I don't know. I remember just thinking like, maybe I'm totally off being over here green or But then when I talked to Will, he's like, no, that's good. You don't want to look like your competitors. Yes. He taught me. And I was like, well, actually, I guess that makes sense. Because then if you're, he's like, think about it. If they have them pulled up and you pulled up on their browser and they're flipping back and forth and they can't see a difference, then they might not see a difference. Like in your services, you know, like visually, it all just looks the same. So he's like, I actually think it's a benefit to you to look. And I was like, oh. And then he explained to me that's why Sales Loft turned green so that they could be more differentiated from Salesforce. Right. That was one of the biggest things I took away is like competitive differentiation and truly visually drawing a line between you and your competitors and making you look different.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I've been so in the bubble now for so long. It's actually healthy for me to hear that. That you could think, well, it must be working for them. That's what the market leans towards. So I should do those things. I should follow them.
Yep.
And then for someone else to say, no. We actually do the opposite. It's like, oh, interesting. Thank you for sharing that. I wouldn't have even considered that people think that way. I'm too lost in my own sauce.
Yeah. I get that though. You've been doing this a long time.
Yes. Well, you shared a lot of value. You shared a lot of perspective. I want to thank you, first of all, for trusting Odie in the first place, to leaning in and trusting in the fact that we would actually go through this journey with you and do a good job and you'd get at the end and not feel like, what the hell did I just do? I didn't have money to waste. Why did I do that? We're never going to put anybody in a scenario like that to the best of our ability. And then I also want to thank you for joining the show and sharing that story. It's important. I think there are a lot of people out there that, not to say they're on the cusp and we need this video to help them hire us. It's not about that. It's just a lot of crap they don't know about what it will feel like and what it will be like. And we're just trying to uncover that. So your story is valuable in uncovering those things.
Oh, I think it's super smart. I love what you guys, I actually feel like I've learned a lot from you guys as a fellow service provider, like going through your process. I took things away like, oh, I like how they did that. I'm going to implement that. For me, it's like, I think people, not that that's the point of working with you, but I think they will learn some operational best practices from working with you too. So
I love that. Like we talked about before we hopped on here, it is important for us to build businesses, now Focus Lab and Odie, that deliver value beyond the tangible output. And we say that on our website, right? Like our intangibles are just as valuable as the tangibles we deliver. That's an example of it, right? Mm-hmm. We work with some people that say like, oh, operationally, I'm going to do those things. Wow, that was really nice to go through that way with you. I'm going to mimic that. Yep. We love that. Good. Take it. We don't care. I'm happy to hear that too. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. So thank you for everything. It was awesome.
All right, Jess. Well, we look forward to supporting you, which is making a ton of noise in and around your business as you continue to kick butt out there in the market. And hopefully we cross paths soon.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.